Welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. Our host, Oscar Endermo, will together with guests share proven, tested strategies for improving your life and business. At the end of each episode, you will learn how you can use technology to implement those strategies into your daily life. We want to help you bridge the gap from inspiration to implementation.
Welcome to another episode of the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast. In this episode, you will get an update on where we stand with Hyperloops. This is a super exciting transport technology that will change the world. And the only question is where it will happen, where the first Hyperloop will happen, and when. And I speak with Thomas Dahlgren, and he is the chairman of the Swedish Hyperloop Association. And he gives us the latest on where we stand with Hyperloops.
Thomas, welcome to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast.
Well, thank you very much.
Yes. So I found you by using the internet, actually. I was researching new technologies and I found one of your presentations that you have done. So can you share a little bit, what is it that you do right now?
Yeah, I'm the chairman of the nonprofit organization, Hyperloop Sweden. And this was founded by Rickard Bind and Hugo Wikström in 2017. And these guys came together on Facebook, discovering that they both were making posts about the Hyperloop technology. And so they established this organization. And our aim is to make the public and decision makers aware of this technology, transport technology, that is really coming and developing fast now in Europe and in the States, as well as also in Asia.
So the purpose of the organization is to spread awareness and basically...
Yeah, spread awareness and we do lobbying for implementing this technology in Sweden before 2030. And that is the general goal of the commercial implementation of the technology around the world. So we have the same aim to get a Hyperloop line in Sweden before this year.
Okay, excellent. So that goes directly then to Hyperloop. What if someone doesn't really know what the Hyperloop technology is and what the history of this technology is? Can you share just a little bit the background of Hyperloop?
Most people know about the maglev technology, magnetic trains levitating on rails. So it's actually a maglev technology, but instead of running the trains out in the open air, you run them in tunnels with a low pressure to minimize air pressure, air resistance. And this makes the power consumption of the so-called pods, the vehicles, it's extremely energy sufficient and efficient. It uses like half of the energy needed for a high-speed train to move passengers and only 10% roughly of the energy needed for an airplane per passenger counted. And the system is, the vision of the system is to be built like highways. So if you run from say Stockholm to Gothenburg, you don't have to stop in Jönköping, for example, like you do with a regular train. So then you go, you hop in the actual pod who destinates to the place you want to go. So you don't stop on your journey to your final destination.
So each pod can stop wherever they want.
If you want to go to Gothenburg, you jump into the specific Gothenburg pod, like a car.
Mm-hmm. And all those that goes to Jönköping, they can get off. They will take another pod that stops.
Yes, they take the specific Jönköping pod then.
Okay.
And also you can put solar panels up on these tubes. So you can generate a lot of the energy you consume for the powering of the system. And if you are lucky, you can even get more energy than you do consume. And the speed is very high. It's in the comparison to the air traffic, it's about the same speed or even higher sometimes. And one thing which is very good is that you can integrate these Hyperloop pod stations in the city core, like a metro station.
It doesn't have to be far away, like an airport.
Yeah, because that if you only travel on a short distance, like to Malmö or to Copenhagen or so, a long time is used for the actual transfer going to the airport and going from the airport. So it's really a neat, fantastic vision. And the ideas, they are not new actually, but they were relaunched by Elon Musk, who picked up these ideas from beginning of the 20th century. It was an American scientist, Robert Goddard, also called the father of the rocket science in America. He published an article in the Scientific American Journal, I think it was 1907, where he described the technology of vacuum trains. And also in Switzerland during the 70s and 80s, scientists and engineers in Lausanne, in Switzerland, worked on this project for like 10, 15 years. It was basically a Hyperloop system, but they called it the Swiss Metro, and the pressure within the tubing was a bit higher than the pressure being discussed now in such systems. So the ideas are like 100 years old, basically, but the genius Elon Musk relaunched the idea and rebranded the technology, and he made it as an open source technology. And he said, guys, be my guest. Sorry, I have enough to do with Tesla and SpaceX and so on.
Yeah, so and so on, exactly.
You go ahead and do this. And so many people did. So a lot of engineers and entrepreneurs, they came from SpaceX, for example.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned that it would take about half the energy from these bullet trains or the other trains there. And I think the ones that are going now, the fastest one, I believe, is like Shanghai, Beijing, I think 350 kilometers an hour, but up to 600 kilometers an hour. So how fast will you be able to go with the Hyperloop?
You generally speak about speeds between 1,000 and 1,200 kilometers an hour. Mm.
Yeah,
the Koreans they speak about higher speeds actually, but it's difficult to get information from South Korea and also China. They are not as open as Europeans and the Americans. So you can read that they aim for speeds much higher than that even.
Wow.
So future will tell where we land.
I mean, I get excited just thinking about this, and I see myself.
Amazing. And imagine going from station in Stockholm to Paris, and you can be there in like 2 hours.
Yeah,
like riding a metro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So my first thought was that you, if I go to Paris, basically I had to go Stockholm, Malmö, get off, go Malmö, Hamburg, get off, go Hamburg, Paris. But it would basically be the same connection, and you just get off, you take a pod that goes to that destination, basically.
Yeah.
So you could technically go Stockholm, Paris without any stops.
Yeah, that's the vision of it. And now we are working on a European standard for the technology. And the aim is very high, actually. The aim is to have it settled by 2023, 2024.
Settled as you mean the regulatory framework?
Also that, but also the standardization of the tubing diameter and the signal communication and so on. So of course there are 7 major companies doing this development in Europe and America. And so the best would be, of course, for the market and for the economy, if they could land in the same kind of technology. So you could replace the pods from different suppliers, and that you could use the same system all around Europe, for example.
Yeah. Are they have their own ideas on?
They have a bit of different approaches. It's too early to tell. And maybe the first one on the market will be the leading and actual standardization or standard system.
Okay. Isn't that the problem with the railroad? Like if you go Sweden down to Denmark, then you need to change because it's different diameter sizes of the railroad or something like this.
I'm not sure about Sweden, Denmark, but there are a lot of different technologies and signaling systems. Mm. Within the EU, they are working on this signal standardization, ERMTS. It takes such a long time to agree upon this standard.
Yeah.
So that will be finished maybe 2035, just this standardization. So the idea is to get down and talk about the standards before launching the different technologies within the Hyperloop community.
Yeah, because building it must be quite expensive. So if you build it, then better agree before.
This is quite unique. The whole process, because the technical development, as well as the standardization, as well as the regulatory framework, these three things are being developed together and parallel with each other. So that process is quite unique. Normally, you start standardization after you have implemented a technology. We try to do it together and at the same time.
Okay.
And the nice thing is that the European Union, as well as the American Department of Transportation, they are supporting this development financially, and also working on the regulatory framework quickly to have this implemented smoothly and soon in the future, because they see the great advantage of having this energy sufficient technology being implemented.
Yeah, of course. There's so many benefits. So you mentioned that those two guys that started the Swedish Hyperloop Association started talking in 2017. And I believe I've been talking about technology, like giving presentations about technology for maybe like 5-6 years or something. And I think I included a Hyperloop maybe 5 years ago.
Okay. Nice.
But then and in November, someone told me that at the Expo of Dubai, the World Expo, there will be a Hyperloop ready between Dubai and Abu Dhabi. And I was really excited to see that. But then I went down in I went down November 2021 to the World Expo, and unfortunately it wasn't ready. So what is the current state of Hyperloops? Like, how, like Virgin Hyperloop and then there are a couple of other companies, which one has come the furthest and are they ready to launch? What is the current state of the Hyperloop market?
Yeah, there are a few spots around the globe who claim to be to host the first commercial line, and there was a lot of fuss and noise about implementation would start in India, actually between Mumbai and Pune, through Virgin Hyperloop. And they actually decided to start building this during 2020, but then they changed the regional government, and the new government stopped the starting of the Hyperloop line. Wow. And the current decision maker said that we don't want to take this first risk, commercial risk. Let somebody else do it. So there's a lot of money involved, everybody wants to see it working somewhere before investing themselves. So that is a big challenge to solve this situation. But apart from India, other hotspots are, like you mentioned, Abu Dhabi, Dubai. But recently, the most exciting project is in Canada, actually. You have the Canadian Hyperloop company called Transpod. Mm-hmm. And they have big plans, well, plans, everybody has plans, but they have negotiated with a regional parts in Canada, in Alberta, to implement a commercial Hyperloop between Calgary and Edmonton, and they have some first good financial situation about this. So they've funded a big part of this line, and also in Italy before the Olympic Games. There is plans for a line between Venice and Padua.
And what years are they planning to, like, Canada? They claim
to have it running, at least a part of it, by 2026.
In Canada?
No, in Italy.
Okay.
And to have this launched together with the Olympic Games, hosting the Olympic Games. And the exciting thing is that the old chairman of Hyperloop TT, an American company, he is an Italian who worked a lot in the telecom industry. And now he left the company, Hyperloop TT, to start Hyperloop Italia. So they plan to use the Hyperloop TT technology in Italy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if he still owns shares in the Hyperloop TT company, but for sure he's running the Hyperloop Italia. They are quite aggressive, and they have exciting plans. So it could well be there. Mm-hmm. Or in Holland, in the Netherlands, between Amsterdam and Rotterdam, and they have also made some big improvements and steps on this journey.
So these places they're already building, like they're already out building the, or is it these are the plans still?
I think they have started a bit in Holland. I'm not sure. They have this Hyperloop development center in okay. Groningen. And that I think they've started to build, but there's a lot of planning and not all cities have agreed upon this project, because you have to place the line somewhere. It's the same problem as implementing railway.
Okay. I mean, Dubai Abu Dhabi, they said that it would take 12 minutes. And I've been driving up and down Dubai Abu Dhabi many times. As I told you before, I used to live in Dubai. And I think normally you drive between 1 hour and 1.5, depending on the traffic. If you get stuck in traffic, you can get stuck for hours. And so a Hyperloop that takes 12 minutes from city to city, I mean, that would change the whole city structure, everything, you know.
Like, yeah.
It's amazing, you know, what implications this would have, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think there is fairly easy to build because it's just flat, you know, there's no. But what about this Elon Musk thing that he came up with, the boring company to build? You cannot do the Hyperloops in tunnels under, or you have to do them above.
There are three ways to do it. Either you put it on ground, or you put it on pylons, on pillars, a few meters up in above ground, or you can put it in tunnels underground. It's like railway actually. Although it's not that common that you put railways on pylons up in there.
Testing pods, I think Virgin does testing already, right?
Yeah.
Is that somewhere in the US in the desert or?
Yeah, in the Nevada desert. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when I did this presentation on Tuesday and I talked briefly about this, one of the girls, she said, but how does it affect us if we travel this fast in a vacuum thing? And what is the security and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
What are your comments about this?
Yeah.
I mean, it must be more safe than going on a train, no? Because in a train, something can come and lock it.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's actually the acceleration or deacceleration that affects your body. And it's the same as when you drive a car or you lift in an aeroplane. It's the actual takeoff or landing that feels, you can feel it in your body. But up in there, when reaching the cruising speed, you don't feel any difference. So it's the same with Hyperloop technology. And the accelerations we speak about are the same as running on a regular train. Mm. So that has been regulated by the authorities. So you won't feel any difference from running an ordinary train, or rather it will be more comfortable as you don't have the turbulence like you have when you run trains and cars and airplanes.
And I mean, for Scandinavia or for Canada, that with winters, cold winters, it must be much better to be in a tube, no?
Yeah.
Weatherproof.
It's weatherproof. And also the accidents with game and people, human beings, can easily be avoided. Like you have a fence around the whole line.
Yeah.
Which
but if you build, let's say, you build from Stockholm to Malmö to Copenhagen, mm-hmm. and you said that one pod could get off in Malmö, one pod could get off in Copenhagen. Like, how would that work? Does it like exit before and then a separate tube, or like, and how? If my friend wants to go to Malmö, I want to go to Copenhagen. How long time do I need to wait in until for the next pod?
Yeah, well, it's like a highway. So if you want to go to Malmö, you go straight ahead. And if you go to Gothenburg, you turn right, so to speak.
So there is just in Malmö, there will be like, go separate out, here's Malmö, and then there will be a place for it to stop. That I assume it takes some time for it to stop, no?
It's working like a highway system. If you
on and off ramps, basically.
Like. On and off ramps, right.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So, if you could dream and you would see like the perfect Hyperloop solution in Europe 2030, how would it look like? Like, what cities are connected and how fast can I go to a beach holiday because it's snowing in Stockholm now and it's April. I want to go down to the Mediterranean.
Yeah, no, but it's possible to connect the capitals of the Nordic countries. Well, except Iceland, that's more difficult. but you could connect Oslo, Stockholm, Helsinki, and Copenhagen. And at least from Stockholm, you could reach these destinations within like 45 minutes. And you could reach Oslo and Helsinki in 30 minutes. So it would be actually possible to live in one country and work in another and do the commuting every day.
and the price level as well. I mean, the cost of running this, will it be affordable to commute to Oslo from Stockholm, for example?
I mean, people do that today with the airplane.
True.
So it will be comparable to running a car. Roughly, according to the estimations made. And it will definitely be compatible with the train prices, train ticket prices.
Yeah. And Stockholm, Helsinki, there's a lot of water in between. Mm-hmm. Would you do a tunnel then? Or how?
Yeah, the idea is to make a tunnel there.
Yeah.
And this was researched and investigated in 2016, 2017 already.
Mm.
But the whole project was stopped due to the lack of a standardization for a Hyperloop. They didn't want to go ahead investing a lot of money when the standardization wasn't fulfilled yet. Mm. And now it's coming. So it's after 2023, 2024, it will be much easier to have funding for these lines.
Mm. Amazing. From what I understand, I've taken the bullet train in Japan from Osaka to Tokyo. Really interesting experience. But I understand China is now the leader in this, and they have more. They have faster trains than Japan, even from what I understand. What does China, don't they focus on this? Because I saw you sent me a couple of companies that work with Hyperloops, and I didn't see any Chinese company.
Yeah, there is actually, there is a Chinese company doing
this. Okay, there is, yeah.
Yeah,
I saw a South Korean company, I think, on the list, but maybe it was a Chinese.
Yeah, it's the national rail company called Korail in Korea. They are doing this research, and in China, it's sorted under the aerospace unit of China, and they have done this partly in cooperation with the Geely, who is the owner of Volvo cars. So it's cooking there also, but it's not as open and transparent as the projects in Europe and in the States.
Yeah. So in the 80s and 90s when I was growing up, there was this Interrail cards, you know, that you took down to Europe, or you were taking the Interrail card. So with the Hyperloop Interrail card, you can get pretty far quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 weeks in Europe, you can see everything like this.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Excellent. So what is missing in Sweden for this to be reality?
For politicians, it's a big risk to say, let's stop the bullet train plants in Sweden and let's wait for the Hyperloop. Right now, the parliament is divided into two even parts, and the go ahead part is just one vote over the don't go ahead part regarding the bullet trains in Sweden, many parties claim that it would be better to invest in highways and the road traffic to solve the logistic problems in Sweden. And that is our opinion also. Let's stop building the high speed trains or the bullet trains and try to solve the logistic problem with the road and more efficient railways and wait and see what the technology Hyperloop could supply the market.
So the bullet is Sweden, are they laying more tracks for bullet trains now or?
The whole project is not being financed yet, but some small parts of the high-speed trains have been financed in the so-called national plan in Sweden. The authorities, like Trafikverket in Sweden, the Department of Transportation, they have to give their blessing for the technology, so to speak, so that the industry wants to invest in the technology to put effort into the know-how and so on. So slowly we are going forward with this lobbying process.
Yeah, because then the same thing needs to happen in Norway and Denmark, and they need to talk to each other, and right?
Yeah. So we have discussions with the colleagues in Norway, Finland, and Denmark to with a joint forces approach our states. Mm.
Is Virgin Hyperloop the most advanced in this these companies, or what are the top companies in Hyperloops?
I would say Virgin Hyperloop and Hyperloop Transportation Technologies, as well as those two are the leading companies. And then you have also Hart Hyperloop from the Netherlands, and you have Celeros from Spain, and you have Transpod from Canada. So, but Virgin Hyperloop has the most advanced testing of the technology with passengers, actually.
Okay. Yeah. No, but this is what we were talking about on Tuesday. Someone said, "But is it really good to go that fast?" And then I read somewhere that, you know, when the trains came in the 19th century, that someone said that, "Is it really healthy to travel on a train?" You know, because back then you had only a horse. So,
yeah.
But we've been fine on trains for 150 years, whatever it is.
I think it will be the same process as for the air traffic. You know, when the Wright brothers launched the first airplanes, they flew like 36 meters, I think it was. Mm-hmm. You know, imagine that the people on the ground looking up in the sky, telling these people you are crazy. And then now if you look up in the sky, do you know how many passengers you see up in the sky all day long? All day and night long.
Yeah.
There's roughly 1 million people up in the air always.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And the people in the beginning of the 20th century, I'm sure they couldn't imagine this technological development. And it will be the same now.
Do you think it will replace the short-haul flights? Will it replace the trains? Or is there space for all? Like, if I go to Malmö, I can take the Hyperloop, I can fly, I can take the train. Like, will the train and the flight still be there?
Yeah, I think
2035, let's say.
Yeah, all modes will coexist, I think, and we think, because the demand for logistics is increasing with the economy, and it's estimated by the. Uh, by the United Nations that the demand is increasing three times until 2050 for both people and goods.
Yeah, that was my next question. Can this also be used to transport goods, the Hyperloop system?
Yeah, you could transport goods and not maybe steel. Steel and coal and such heavy goods, but consumer goods, sure. And many people think that the technology will be implemented as a goods transport mode.
Do you put a whole container in there, or you have to
unload? Yeah, there are plans for big containers also, especially. By Hyperloop TT from the harbor of Hamburg. They have an ongoing project to investigate this, to have them running from the harbor to the city center and so on.
Yeah, that must be much faster. But that will be a separate, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so, yes.
Yeah. So the pods in a Hyperloop, how many people can be in one pod? Is that...
We speak about 20 to 60 passengers. Per pod.
Okay, so then you can have the 60 pod to Gothenburg and the 20 to Jönköping, maybe.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, for me, this is like a science fiction movie, and the funny thing is that all these things that I've been talking about for like 5 years, it seems like now is really happening. You know, like, you know, self-driving cars 5 years ago, yeah, it will never happen. But now we are getting there. You know, it seems like same with this that. I think Dubai Abu Dhabi will probably happen soon. It might be the first one, or
yeah, could well be.
Yeah, or the one in Canada. That's let's hope, because I think this is good for the environment. It's good for business. It's good for also for holiday. So it's an amazing technology.
Yeah, really, going from one city to another in like half an hour. It's amazing to be able to reach the capitals of Europe within such a short time.
Yeah, now I start thinking about the implications of everything, you know, like, yeah, but that's a bigger question that I think all the listeners can think about. What are the implications when you can go to one city to another in fifth of the time or what? Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, I have... a last question. If you had a magic wand and you could get 30 seconds with all the decision makers in Europe on the transport authorities, what would you tell them?
Well, firstly, that we really have to dig into this technology and to investigate the economic possibilities thoroughly and not to invest in old technology before sorting out the possibilities of the huge advantage of this technology. I mean, we haven't seen it commercially yet, but not to investigate all the possibilities and environmental pros. It would be really stupid, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I'm excited. It was really interesting to talk to you, and I really hope that these hyperloops will happen in before 2030, and I hope we can go on one together one day.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Me too.
Maybe in the Olympics. any last question? Last things for the listeners? I can put some links maybe to resources
about
Hyperloop Sweden and your association.
Mm. Well, I think it would be good to spread, I mean, the message around to people, because when you speak to decision makers, they are not aware of this happening so quickly. And it's fantastic if you and your viewers and listeners could spread the word. I mean, it's good for everybody, for the environment. To save energy is one of the biggest issues we have to solve, to have clean energy And if you consume less energy, it's easier to reach the goals of a clean planet.
And also, you can escape a snowy April day and you can go down to the Mediterranean.
Or go to the ice to have real snow.
Yeah, exactly. exactly, go skiing. So thank you so much for taking the time, Thomas. It's exciting times ahead, and I really, really hope that this will happen in the next coming years. It will happen. It's just a matter it's just a matter of where it will happen. It will happen. Yeah. It's just a matter of where.
Yeah.
And actually, my bet is that the Chinese will be the first, if not the Bayabada. You want to bet the first commercial line?
My guess would be the Middle East, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, because they have the money and they have a flat ground and maybe.
Yeah, and it's the same country, so regulations as well. It's easy. It's just So okay. Thank you so much, Thomas.
Thank you, Oscar. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Strategic Tech Coaching Podcast with your host, Oscar Ndermo. We'll catch you next time.